Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Well, let's move to the draft where the Dallas Stars did not have a first round pick. Their first pick was in the second round, 59th overall. And they picked up from the Tri-City Americans of the WHL, Jacob Vanacek. So tell us about the 18-year-old and what you like or don't like about him and where you had him ranked.
I love his pick. A lot of my draft coverage was kind of, I was sort of focused on players that would absolutely be in the second round. And most of those players were players that I figured would go in the middle or late second round and beyond, like Samu Alari, the big Finnish right shot defender who Dallas ended up passing on. And I thought for sure, like, oh man, that would be perfect. And one of the players, along with Juho Pippurainen and what was the other guy's name? Tommy Blail, Xavier Villanueva, like some of these defenders that I just didn't think would be available was Vanacek. And he's not a guy that was expected to go in the first round, but he was expected to go kind of at the beginning of the second, right? One of those like borderline first line talents, kind of like Emil Hemming, right? But on the second half. And it's kind of amazing. Like I love this pick. I'm going to say some critical things about the other picks in this draft. So I'm glad that I can shower Dallas with nothing but love, because for people that don't know, his team, the Tri-City Americans, sucked. Like they were awful. So obviously, you know, that tends to affect player performance, right? When you don't have talented teammates, you don't have an ideal environment, especially for development, you know, that can affect performance. And it often does in some of these prospects. And that didn't stop him. You know, he's represented the Czech team, right, for a couple World Juniors now. And what he is going to give Dallas and I'm going to throw out this comp, and I hate throwing out this comp because I feel like it's going to get misunderstood. When you kind of talk about comps, the idea is that, well, in the broad strokes, some of the sketches, you can, if you squint your eyes, you can kind of see elements of this player. And the player that he reminds me of is Jackson Lacombe. This is a smooth skating, you know, rush defender who is what I would assume is someone that's going to like essentially kind of replace S. Lindell once his time is done, once his watch has ended. And so what Dallas gets is a really clean, quality, intelligent, I would say defensive defenseman, but only in type because he's still very, very skilled. A lot of people make a big deal about his shot, and he has a good shot. I always try to look at like, well, what offense tends to translate in the NHL? I don't think his shot's going to translate. I think what will translate is the fact that he makes very crisp decisions, plays with pace, a really effortless and just sublime skater. It's a fantastic pick, man. I don't have anything. All the stuff that like the critical stuff about players like this is always the same thing. You heard it from like Miro Heiskanen. You heard it about Jake Sanderson. We really great defense, but kind of a limited offensive ceiling. You know, which is like complaining about it like a forward, like insane production, super skilled, doesn't defend well. You know, like I get that. Yeah. You know, you want players to be, to approximate kind of some level of perfection, or at least like an ability to kind of strive towards it. He's not that, but man, he is just, I'm super pumped. And I hated that I went to like a Rush show, friends that, you know, were out of town, were in town, and I didn't get to dramatically overreact on social media the way I wish I had, but you would have heard me hooting and hollering at this pick because I love it.
Nice. In the fifth round, 155th overall, it appears as though the Stars picked up an agitator in Ryan Brown. Tell us about the man, 18 years old, from the Sarnia Sting of the OHL.
Yeah, well, he wasn't like super lights out with the Sarnia Sting, but once he got traded to the London Knights, that's when he really started to pick things up, and really when he just went off. As a player, you know, Ryan Brown is kind of, he reminds me, I think I'm kind of writing like draft grades for tomorrow. And one of the descriptions I used for him was kind of a combo of Angus McDonald and Antonio Strangis. So for like prospect nerds, you'll know exactly kind of what that means because he is skilled, but he's very tenacious.
I thought you were going to bring up Britzkovian.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, yes, that is.
Yeah.
Why did I take the scenic route?
I'll help you at any time, sir. Hire me as your draft expert.
Thank you, Gavin. Yes. Yeah, like I'm assuming that's exactly what they saw. He is like a Ritz-Covian. I would say his offense is much more natural, though, Ryan Brown. I think the thing with Brown is kind of he was on a stacked London Knights team. So how much of his production was really him driving play and how much was, based on his teammates, I think is a real question. Dallas is clearly betting on the fact that he was really the kind of driver there. I will say, some of the guys that were on the board at the time that Dallas passed on that I liked, Cooper Williams, Yaroslav Fedoseyev, a Russian right shot defender that I profiled at the Substack and that ended up going to Toronto. Cooper Williams actually went to Toronto as well. It should be noted. And of course, Toronto, who, poached Mark Leach from Dallas, right? Used to, be one of Dallas' scouts. There was some talent left on board, but Ryan Brown, solid player. I like the pick.
Okay. A lot of times we have new listeners of Spits and Suds, and I really like to break it down. And I think this is really interesting regarding the Ontario Hockey League and just junior hockey in general, because a guy like Ryan Brown is picked in the fifth round. Then we drop to the seventh round with the Stars and Jesper Kuta, and you look at the stats, just the stats, 19-year-old, 63 points in 62 regular seasons for the Ottawa 67s. Now, and he also played pretty well for Team Finland in the U-20 World Juniors, 8 points in 7 games played. Why does a player like that drop to the seventh round and is not as sexy?
So, this is like, I think for people that are new, it may seem kind of strange, but it's really based on sort of how development happens. And I think we all kind of have a sense of this, right? Which is that, typically if the younger a player is and the more talent they're able to show on ice, and you see this all the time with, first round picks that end up playing in the NHL, the sooner they can make the NHL, chances are the better they are. And so the reason why someone like Jasper Kuta fell is because he was born October 28, 2006. So he has a year plus of experience on the other players he's playing against. So you'll see that pretty much all the time, right? You have older players on a roster, they're going to produce more. Why? Because, they're more advanced physically. They're more advanced in terms of experience. And chances are they're also playing heavy minutes because, those junior coaches trust them. They're essentially veterans for all intents and purposes. So the reason why, players like Kuta fall is because, the reason that overagers fall in general, right? Which is that if they were as good as the numbers say they are, well, then those numbers would have shown up a year ago or even the season before that, maybe even their pre-draft year. Every now and then you still get, you can still end up with overagers that end up, popping off eventually. But nonetheless, like that's essentially why, right?
Okay.
Development tends to happen on a curve. So, when teams are picking in this draft, chances are they're looking at, and this is one of the reasons why there's kind of a bias against birth dates, right? The younger a player is, and the more they've shown, the better. And so, so that's basically it, right? I mean, you should be interested. Like the youngest players still have room to grow. Somebody like Kuta, you get what you get, right? He doesn't have room to grow. That was his ceiling there, right? Because he's going to the University of Massachusetts next year to be playing college. So his ceiling was a point per game player, which is okay, but at that age, less so.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say, "We're really doing this." But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
But then to your point, could you say the same thing then about Stars top prospect Emil Hemming, because he's 20 and just played junior hockey and this was his best year in juniors?
Yes. But the difference is that Hemming is, I think, pretty much the same age as Kuta, but Hemming had, I think, 61 points, but that was because he played like 40 something games, right? So if you, if he had played a full season, or if he had played as many games as Kuta, he would have had over 90 points. Okay. You still raise like an interesting point, because I do think this is kind of one of the I think Emil Hemming, as I've said before, I think he'll get games in the NHL this year. Again, I'm on an island with that, and that's fine with me. But it is important to note, because that's precisely why I think, to the extent that there is criticism of Hemming, that's it, right? Which is that Hemming is not, some sort of blue chip offensive, terror or anything like that, right? Like, he's not a guy that's going to come in and put up 70 points. I think Hemming, tops out as a middle six winger that can, play both sides of special teams like at a pinch. But he didn't produce like Cameron Schmidt did. But then again, we get into which league is tougher, right? Hemming played in the OHL, Cameron Schmidt played in the WHL, which, tends to have inferior competition. Also, one of the reasons probably why Daxon Rudolph, right, was chosen over, say, like Chase Reed. There's so many like interlocking parts here when it comes to kind of analyzing the draft. Part of what makes it so fun as well, and one of the reasons why hockey is so much trickier than other sports when it comes to drafting.
Do we want to talk about the Stars draft pick, the goaltender from Denmark, Anton Larsson? Someone
do you want to talk about him?
I am the second best goalie prospect picker on this podcast, minus Sean Shapiro. Although my goaltending picks have been spot on. You know, I had Germany nailed. This one I got to do a deep dive on. So in the sixth round, 187 overall, 18 years old, 6'4". We'll have to see about him. And then the Stars picked up another defenseman, David, in the seventh round, if you want to talk about him.
Yeah, so I guess real quick, the only thing I knew about Anton Emil Wild Larsen, which is the Danish goaltender they picked, you look at his stats, they're really bad, right? And again, this is why, this guy goes in the late rounds, sixth and seventh round, right? A lot of what captures any team's attention will be, and I'm sure we recall them all, right? Will be those games, especially on the international stage, right? Especially in the World Juniors, right? Players that pop off at just the right time, players that give you that performance where you're like, that was brilliant. Maybe he has that more. Maybe that's more of who he can be. Not saying it's a good way to draft. Nonetheless, yep. it can be, right? And so that's the case with the Danish goaltender they picked. And I actually remember watching this game. I wasn't paying attention to him because I was just like, oh, Team USA is just so much superior to the Team Denmark. But nonetheless, there was that game versus Team USA where he only let in two goals despite the fact that Team USA put over 50 shots on him. So I'm sure that's kind of what they were looking at. I'll post some clips that I found of him on the StarStack piece that I'll have tomorrow on the trade grades. And when you look at him, like, man, he a lot of shoulder checking, man. He fights to see through traffic. He seems like, to the extent that a goalie can be a battler, that seems kind of that's kind of his profile. But again, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about goaltending, and certainly about like his season. I think he only played 13 games in the Denmark's professional league. So couldn't tell you much about him except for what I just said.
Yeah. And in their final pick, Mikhail Sharapanov they're based here in Dallas, the league headquarters, the NAHL, the NAHL, played for the New Hampshire Mountain Kings this past year. And he, the defenseman from Russia, will not be returning to Russia, but instead will be going to Lake Superior State University next year. Stay in the NAHL and then maybe go to Lake Superior State. It says 27-28, elite prospect says.
Right. Well, so quick correction, right? He should be drafted in the CHL next season, He's committed to Lake Superior State University right after that.
Got it.
I'm actually surprised I haven't been more critical of the previous pick. Like, my issue with like pretty much all the picks after Vanacek is that I just felt like there was superior talent on board. And I profiled the big left winger, Landon Ammerhein, Darren Rolsing, the big right shot German goaltender, Yuri Kamas, I can't remember if he was Slovakian or Czech, right shot defenseman that I thought was kind of really interesting, actually a little like Vanacek. Michael, there were guys that went undrafted that I would have preferred over this guy. But if you watch his clips, Dallas is clearly betting on just raw tools. He's not a super big defender, right? And of course he's a left shot. Dallas just refuses to draft right shot defenders. 6'1", 187 pounds, 31 points in the NAHL means nothing, but you watch him and like, man, his skills stand out. Smooth skating, really a beautiful skater, and seems to have some real chops in terms of in zone playmaking, right? From a blue liner. So I don't know if that means like he kind of tops out as kind of like a rover type or just kind of your classic puck mover. But I guess I actually like this pick more than the Kuta, Larsen and the Brown picks, just because it seemed like they're really just kind of betting on his kind of raw tools, which I think are enticing. So I like this pick.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.